the country's already divided politically. I don't think it's going to be any more divisive.
So the idea here is really quite simple. If you want to pay taxes here, own property here, shop in our local stores, eat in our local restaurants, well, that's good business for us long term. So we'll make it a little bit easier to make that happen.
Completely different backgrounds and completely different approaches to who you're fighting for and who you're working for. And I think that's going to make a big difference in the race, and it should.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo talks impeachment. One state lawmaker wants to pay people $10,000 to relocate to Western Massachusetts. And we meet a Democratic candidate for governor of New Hampshire. With President Donald Trump now facing an impeachment inquiry, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the president's conversation with his Ukrainian counterpart also represents possible criminal wrongdoing. The Democrat spoke on WAMC. It was just before Trump addressed reporters at a rare news conference, denying the charges that he improperly tried to get Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son. Cuomo tells WAMC's Alan Chartok that he backs House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's latest maneuvers.
She either had a crystal ball or was prophetic yesterday, because when the transcript came out today and you actually see what the president says, you're darn right there should be an inquiry. Forget the politics of the situation. Just the legal analysis now of the situation. You have the president saying, Giuliani and my attorney general will help you investigate my political opponent. How do you justify the use of public resources for a political purpose? It would be like if I said we're going to use the state police to investigate, call the state police, they'll help you investigate my political opponent. That's not a political question. That's a legal question. That's a criminal question. So, yes, inquiry, all these semantics, investigate that because there's potential illegality.
Well, are you prepared to say now, Governor Cuomo, that this president should be impeached?
I'm prepared to say now there should be a legal investigation into the propriety and legality of what he said and did.
What if somebody...
Think about it, Alan.
Sure.
You have the president saying to a foreign head of state, investigate my political opponent. My attorney general will help you. By the way, do me a favor. And contemporaneously... We can release hundreds of millions of dollars to you.
Well, on its face, that looks like something that is an impeachable offense.
On its face, it does. But since we're responsible and prudent, we don't take the first judgment, but we will investigate and find the facts. But you're right. I think on its face, it raises serious legal questions.
Now, there are congressmen, Congressman Brindisi and others, who do not want to, talking about impeachment. At least that's the way I see it. Is that a mistake on their part? Is there a point at which every congressman at this stage ought to be saying, hey, if it smells like a skunk, it is a skunk?
Look, I think they're all trying to make a political calculus. How does this affect me politically? The best rule of thumb was the best government is the best politics. The best government is the best politics. Just do the right thing. Yes, this is going to be divisive. The country's already divided politically. I don't think it's going to be any more divisive than this president has succeeded in dividing us already.
Will it help? Will it help this? Will Pelosi calling for impeachment inquiry, will it help the president get reelected?
I don't know.
Again, Governor Andrew Cuomo speaking with WAMC's Alan Chartok. Well, the Massachusetts legislature is considering a bill that would pay people to move to Western Mass. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill has that one.
Here's the pitch. What if you could leave the sky-high rents of Greater Boston, the constant traffic jams and transit breakdowns behind, and live in an area with a good quality of life and cultural attractions while still making a Boston-sized salary? Would some cash motivate you to move? A bill would allow people to claim up to $10,000 from the state for expenses to move to one of the four counties of Western Massachusetts and continue to work remotely for their current employer. It was introduced by Democratic State Senator Eric Lesser of Longmeadow.
So the idea here is really quite simple. If you want to pay taxes here, own property here, shop in our local stores, eat in our local restaurants, well, that's good business for us long term, so we'll make it a little bit easier to make that happen.
Fearing Western Massachusetts is drowning in the wake being left by the economic tidal wave that is Greater Boston, Lesser has for years championed East-West Rail as a way to link the regions.
Of course, by itself, that incentive is not going to do much, but combined with, for example, enhanced rail service, better broadband connectivity, investments in the technology sector and in the startup culture here, you're going to see, I think, a lot of people taking a look at Western Mass. And we actually already know that there's quite a lot of interest because since the bill was filed in January, we've been inundated with emails and calls from all over the country of people taking a look at Western Mass for a place to do business.
Lesser's bill would cap the total relocation incentive payout to $1 million over 3 years.
After that, it's over, and we would do an analysis at that point to see whether it worked. And if it worked, we could expand it and put more money in. If not, well, at least we will have tried. And I would point out that even that relatively modest $1 million statewide investment, there have been economic analyses done that would show that that would have an 8, 9, 10x return through the rest of the economy.
The bill had its first hearing this week by the Joint Committee on Economic Development and Emerging Technologies. Lesser is the co-chair of the committee. Testifying in favor of the bill were several people who recently moved to Western Massachusetts but continued to work for their old employer in the Boston area. Cassie Eckhoff moved last July from the city of Waltham, just west of Boston, to East Hampton. She telecommutes now rather than sit in bumper-to-bumper highway traffic as she once did.
My blood pressure was 190 over 110 in June, and it's down to 110. So that's a pretty statistically significant change.
She estimated her moving expenses were $5,000. So far, no major business groups have endorsed Lesser's bill. Republican Governor Charlie Baker has proposed a $2,000 tax credit for people who telecommute as a means to help reduce traffic congestion. Reporting from Springfield, this is Paul Tuthill, the WAMC's Pioneer Valley News Bureau, on the campus of Western New England University.
And a Democrat has formally entered the New Hampshire 2020 race for governor to challenge incumbent Republican Chris Sununu. State Senate Majority Leader Dan Feltes tells WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley the governor doesn't understand what average people in the state are facing.
Democrat Dan Feltes announced his candidacy for governor on September 3rd in a video posted to social media.
What do we teach you to do when something is broke?
You taught me to fix it.
I'm running for governor for the working families of New Hampshire. I'll look at every issue and every law that hits my desk and think, what is in it for working families?
I have a much different perspective than the current governor. My dad wasn't governor. My brother wasn't a U.S. senator. My dad worked in a furniture factory his entire adult life, 45 years, same air-conditioned furniture factory. My mom worked part-time jobs while raising four kids, and they really instilled in me the values of honesty, respect for everybody, respect for working people and working family, and hard work. And so I've stood up for working families my entire career, right after law school as a legal aid attorney representing families facing foreclosure, facing job loss during the Great Recession, and stood up for working families in the state Senate. And we need somebody who gets what working families are going through right now in the corner office. And this governor doesn't get it. And it shows by all his vetoes, record-setting vetoes of bipartisan legislation, over 50 bills vetoed, prior record 15, everything from helping workers and campaign finance reform to paid family leave to emergency support for addiction services for our families in New Hampshire, all of them vetoed, including an entire state budget. And that's just not the way to work together. We need a new approach that works together, that tries to solve the problems facing hardworking New Hampshire families. That's what I've stood up for my entire career, and that's what I'll do if I have the honor and privilege of serving as governor.
Dan Feltes, you may face a number of Democratic challengers in a primary before you can actually challenge current Governor Sununu. How would you and how do you set yourself apart to be the Democratic Party choice?
I've been a consistent champion, lead sponsor of major pieces of clean energy legislation, major pieces of legislation helping working families, from paid family leave, which the governor vetoed and doesn't support, and actually auctioned off a copy of that veto at a partisan political fundraiser, to campaign finance reform. And so those are the things I've led on, and I've been a public interest attorney for better part of a decade, a legal aid attorney representing low to middle income people, and advance the issues that we care about. And so I will continue to run on that basis, and that's what I'll stand up for and look out for as governor.
There's also, I've heard in New Hampshire, a bit of a rift between the more progressive and more traditional Democrats. Where do you place yourself, and how would you bring those two sides together to be able to take on the current Republican governor?
Well, to the extent there is, quote-unquote, two sides, and I don't really think there is. It's a big tent party, no doubt, but I don't think there really is two sides. And we have support across the party, across the political spectrum, and not just in the Democratic Party. We have support amongst independents and moderate Republicans as well. And that's the kind of coalition that will continue to build, a grassroots coalition of people who know that the issues to working families matter, that we need to make progress, that costs are rising, everything from prescription drugs, property taxes are going up while taxes for big corporations are going down. We need to focus in on what's happening to everyday people here in the Granite State and focus on the crises facing families all across New Hampshire, from mental health to the opioid epidemic, second worst opioid epidemic, second worst treatment capacity to deal with it. We really need to get a handle on these things and finally develop and do real meaningful education funding from cradle to career to make sure that we take care of providing opportunity for everybody. That's how we win this race. That's what public service is all about. And that's what I'll do if I have the honor and privilege of serving as governor.
Dan Feltes, you are currently the state Senate majority leader. You've mentioned the more than 50 vetoes that the current governor has issued, and you've often disagreed with Governor Chris Sununu. Why can't you guys come together and actually move forward with solutions?
Well, we have made bipartisan progress. 40 of the 55 bills that the governor vetoed were bipartisan legislation. So it's that the governor is kowtowing to the far right of the party, and he's not reaching out and not communicating with the legislature, which is a basic core function of the job. So he's just not doing the job. Look, we just need a change. If we're going to make progress on all these issues, we just need to make a change.
The legislature just held a veto session, and it failed to override dozens of vetoes. If I recall, only one of the 50 vetoes was overridden. I mean, how would you as governor work with the legislature to implement your policies if the legislature currently isn't bipartisan enough to override these vetoes?
Well, look, I mean, veto overrides are a different vote, requires 2/3 vote, which is a pretty high benchmark to hit. What that just reinforces is that the singular obstacle to meaningful and inclusive progress for all our people, communities in the state of New Hampshire is the person doing the vetoing, and that's Chris Sununu. So once we move forward and make a change, then we can continue to move forward on bipartisan progress for New Hampshire families.
Last I knew, Governor Sununu had like a 60% approval rating, but at the same time, a lot of folks weren't sure he should be reelected. How difficult do you think this campaign is going to be? Because it's also occurring during a national campaign, a presidential campaign. What do you anticipate over the next year?
We have distinctly different backgrounds. I worked as a legal aid attorney, and he had a ski resort gifted to him by his folks. So completely different backgrounds and completely different approaches to who you're fighting for and who you're working for. And I think that's going to make a big difference in the race, and it should.
State Senate Majority Leader Dan Feltes is the first Democrat to enter New Hampshire's 2020 gubernatorial race. Republican Governor Chris Sununu announced in May that he would seek a third term. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.